Dr. A.K. Lama is the perfect leader, like I said, to talk about the topic that we'll share about tomorrow and today. He's the director of South Asia Ministries for Words of Hope, executive director of Transforming Leaders in Asia, chair of the Baptist World Alliance Commission on Transformational Leadership, vice president of the Asia Pacific Baptist Federation, pro-chancellor of Northeast Christian University in India, and vice chair of the Evangelical Fellowship of India. He is not a lazy person. More importantly, he's a graduate of Beeson Divinity School, twice, as he earned both his MDiv and his doctorate of ministry from here. He also received a PhD in Old Testament from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in 2007. His wife, Dr. Sangha Au, is here as well. She's trained as a medical doctor and earned her MDiv from Beeson Divinity School. And not content to stop there, she earned a Master of Arts in Counseling while they were at Trinity. They've been in ministry for 33 years, and we're happy to have a Sangha with us this week. They're blessed with three children, Sonam, Nima, and Joshua. On a personal note, I was able and fortunate enough to be with them in 2015 in Northeast India, both in their home and for a week of leadership training for pastors in the area. In addition to being very warm and welcoming host, the impact of the leadership training ministry that I saw was significant and inspiring. We look forward to hearing from you today.
Let's hear together the word of the Lord from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Samford family, and Beeson family in particular, a big thank you for having me and my wife, Dr. Asangla, for this special event. We consider it not only an honor, but also an opportunity to thank you. Thank you for all the investment that you have made in our lives. When we came to Beeson in 1998, I was already trained as a veterinary doctor and my wife as a medical doctor. And we were already working with InterVarsity Ministry. We were a campus minister for 8 years, but we were theologically untrained. We were biblically literate, but not very clear about many complicated issues in the text. So we were both hungry to read the Word of God in its original language, wanted to know the richness of theology and richness of Christian history. And that's why we're looking forward for an opportunity to go to a seminary. And the Lord opened the door to come to Beeson Divinity School. Never heard of this town name called Birmingham. I only knew Birmingham, UK. Never heard about Beeson. But we both received numerous helps to accomplish our academic dream. In addition to the Doctor of Ministry program, I was allowed free of charges, 54 credit hours in MDiv classes. So I had MDiv in India. I did MDiv again here while I was doing Doctor of Ministry. And then I was privileged to also attend very special classes like classic Greek with Dr. Randy Todd, I still remember, advanced Hebrew with Dr. Kenneth Matthew, German with Miss Katie Gawa, and of course, Greek with Dr. Tillman and Dr. Kenneth Matthew. I was richly invested in my life, and I started enjoying reading the biblical text in its original language. I also learned German and Latin here. I will never forget some of those moments. So Beeson actually opened the door for me for the PhD program. I was admitted in 4 different colleges for PhD programs, but the Lord took me to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, where I met Dr. Doug Swain. It's another beautiful family where there is an, you know, spiritual formation with academic rigor. I had the benefit of the 2 best schools in my life. So I cannot thank you all enough what has happened in our life. We returned India fully equipped in 2007, and the Lord blessed us 16 years of very productive ministry. When we returned, we were only 2 of us. But thank God, we are now 110 field staff. And my role is mostly coaching and just encouraging them, facilitating them. They are all working in 18 different languages, all the way from northwest India, Pakistan border, to northeast Myanmar and China border. And we are also in Bhutan. We have been in the mission field for a total of 33 years, and we have come thus far not on our own, but because of many like you who trusted us and invested their resources in us. So I only pray that the Lord will bless each one of them richly. That is my desire to see. And we always wanted to be faithful to their expectations, those who have invested in our life. May our Lord good God continue to reward you the way you are investing in today's student's life for the future. For our meditation, the text has been read to you. I have selected Isaiah 61, 1 to 4. This passage is important because Jesus stood and he chose to read this passage publicly as he initiated his ministry. We see that recorded in Gospel according to Luke chapters 4, verse 16 to 20. Also in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 to 6, Jesus pointed towards this passage to describe the pattern of his forthcoming ministry. I believe that this passage is a blueprint for the mission of Jesus Christ, and therefore it deserves our attention on this special day. So in the next 20 minutes, perhaps you will hear me doing all the exegesis. If you find it useful, give credit to Beeson faculty and Tate's faculty. And if you find any fault, you can blame them. So I will once again read the text in English, in NIV. That's the passage normally that's the version I use for preaching. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places along long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Please keep the text open, because then you will enjoy, because, you know, I would like the text to speak to us rather than A.K. Lama speak to you. Let us pray as the Spirit leads us. Almighty God, we are listening to you. Speak to us afresh again. May your Holy Spirit be unleashed. Convict us, encourage us, comfort us, and empower us in whatever way, Lord, is fruitful for your kingdom's work. Once again, Lord, inspire us through this text. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This blueprint of the mission of Jesus highlights four essentials. First, the necessity of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The second, the primacy of the preaching of the Word of God. Third, the indispensability of the compassionate love and care that sets people free. And fourth, the ultimate goal of transformation. Let us consider the first, the necessity of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew text reads, Ruach Adonai Elohim Alai Ya'an Masach Oti. In English, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Now, I'm reminded of my experience in Amsterdam 2000, where Billy Graham invited 14,000 evangelists from all over the world to emphasize on global evangelism. And this was my first experience to the glamour of the Western sophistication of technologies. Everywhere you can see the screen and everybody is carrying their laptop. And then, you know, there is a projector everywhere. I wonder what those 14,000 evangelists, of whom some of them came from very remote jungles of Africa and Asia, what they were thinking. But as for me, I was thinking, oh Lord, if I have these technologies like Billy Graham, I can accelerate the evangelism in whole of Asia. Then came the plenary session in which Dr. John Stott was speaking, and he made a remarkable statement, basically destroying all my expectation and anticipation. He said, as we go out for evangelism, I'm paraphrasing it. He said, as we go out for evangelism, there are two indispensable instruments required to destroy the very foundation of the Satan's activity and to build the house of the Lord. And the two are the power of the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. And God does nothing ever or in any other circumstances other than without the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. We have many leaders in Asia, and so you have perhaps here, but we need the one who is Masach, anointed by the Holy Spirit, consecrated and set apart for the purposes of God. Some may say, I have already Holy Spirit because I have received Jesus Christ, I accepted Jesus Christ. But remember what Jesus teaches us in Luke chapter 11, 13. He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how much to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This passage is not about people from other faith, but those who are already indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Notice Jesus used the example of a father. We don't call God Father unless we are born again, right? Furthermore, the text that precedes in verse 9 has present imperative active command in Greek. Aitete, jetete, krauete, which could be translated as long it is present, go on asking, aitete. As long it is present, go on seeking, jetete. As long it is present, go on knocking, krauete. God gives the Holy Spirit to them who go on asking. I'm always reminded of William Temple, you know. He was the chaplain in that Royal family in UK. He would not come out of the bed until he's made a prayer. He would say, Lord, this bed is the altar and I am the sacrifice. Anoint me afresh. And then he would begin the day. Jesus said, you don't have because you do not ask him. We live in the post-Pentecostal era. It's a biblical mandate that every child of God, every believer must be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in step with the Holy Spirit. The text reads, Ruach Adonai Elohim Alai. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, which also could be translated is over me, upon me. The Holy Spirit is not an influence, by the way, not a feeling inside you. It's not something you own privately that you will see many times televangelists try to project. He is a person. He is an intellect being with a volitional faculty who can discern and lead and guide. He is upon us to ride and control. In other words, I am simply a donkey. And the Holy Spirit is the rider who must have absolute control of direction in my life. In the busy schedule of activism, we have relied more often on our individual common sense. You know, we are good at doing a common sense ministry. As long as it is logical, it makes sense, 2 + 2 = 4, so let's do. You know, that's how every committee meets and decides. But we need a leader who lives a life under the leadership of the Holy Spirit 24/7, the Holy Spirit who can see even beyond the logics and rationals. Someone in whose life the Word of God, the double-edged sword, have become flesh, that every part of his life is ruled and guided and led by this double-edged sword of the Holy Spirit. Yes, God has anointed us, has set us apart, has sent us for his purpose, and the purpose is to preach the Word of God. So this leads me to the second essential of this blueprint, the primacy of the preaching of the Word. The text goes on to explain why the Holy Spirit is upon the servant leader, why he is anointed, because the Lord wants him to do the sevenfold ministries. Number 7 in the Bible is a symbol of sufficiency and fulfillment. Sevenfold ministry within the community and in the world. Please notice the purpose clause after the main verb, which stands out distinctly with 7 infinitive verbs marked by the Hebrew letter Lamed. I think we will remember in our introductory Hebrew, Lamed, infinitive verb, the purpose clause. Lebasher, to preach the good news. Lachbos, to bind up the broken heart. Likro, to proclaim freedom to captives. Likro, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Lanachem, to comfort all who mourn. Lashum, to provide for those who grieve in Zion. Latet, to bestow on them a crown of beauty. And in this sevenfold ministry, please notice the primacy of the preaching of the Word of God, Lebasher, that stands out in the literary structure as the first Lamed infinitive verb. Not a single word in the Holy Scripture is spared. Never undermine every word. They are there for a purpose. Preaching is important because the power lies in the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing of the Word. And this is why Dr. Luke records in Acts chapter 6:2, and I quote, "And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciple and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the Word of God in order to serve tables." Faith is sustained and faith is nurtured for growth and maturity only by the Word of God. Unfortunately, we hear only gossip around the Word of God, but often the Word of God is silenced. We hear the preachers preach, the church leaders preach, the denomination preach. The Word of God is silenced. Therefore, only a good preaching of the Word of God can transform a church, and only a transformed church can transform a society. Since 2002, Asangla and I have been engaged in training pastors and leaders in expository preaching and biblical counseling. More than thousands we have trained thus far, and many of these leaders are seminary graduates who told me, A.K., we didn't learn that in seminary. Yes, we were told about all the, you know, principles, but we never learned the practicals. It is rewarding for us to hear from them when they tell us how their life and their ministry has been transformed, drastically changed, because they allowed the Word of God as central, as primary. Our training motto in TLA is, let the Word of God speak on its own term. That's our motto. This September, I was in India and teaching in three training sessions. We had approximately, in almost every training, around 60 pastors and leaders. Somebody asked me on my way return to U.S., he said, how was it? And I answered, it was very fulfilling to see the glows in their eyes when they were returning. They were not the same person when they came. They were excited and filled with zeal to return. They were looking forward to their ministry. They came as a tired and exhausted, worn out. But when they were returning, there seems to be like they have a lot of matters to preach. And that is very fulfilling to us when we do this training. You know, I don't know in your side of the world, but in our side of the world, youths in some churches prefer to stand and sing for hours in absence of good sermon. You know, they often find comfort in music and the repetitive lyrics. Churches have begun to spend more on ecstatic experience of worship rather than transformative experience of the preaching of the word. You do cover up, you know, all that cosmetic cover up of the worship. But notice in the text, out of the seven infinitive verbs, there is only one that talks specifically on the preaching of the good news. The rest, six of them, talks about translating the word proclaimed into compassionate action of love and care that sets people free. Lakbo was to bind up the broken heart. Likro to proclaim freedom of the captives. Likro to proclaim the year of Lord's favor. Lanakhim to comfort all who mourn. Lashum to provide those who grieve in Zion. And Late to bestow on them a crown of beauty. So this leads us to the third essential aspect of the blueprint. The indispensability of the compassionate love and care that sets people free. The purpose is to make the preaching of the news as good news in all possible ways. Physical, social, moral, economical, spiritual. It is about the whole gospel to the whole of humanity. Like in the times of Isaiah, we see the members in the churches brokenhearted, living in many kinds of captivity, and they are silently mourning. You think that they are enjoying the worship, they like your music, but deep inside, you know, I'm fine, you're fine. They are all mourning. They are inside the church, they are in Zion, but grieving. Their heads are filled with ashes and a spirit of despair. They are living in the ruined cities of ritual and liturgical and legalistic Christianity. You just walk out in some of the churches, you will realize it. It's all about the order of worship. Similar is the case of suffering humanity in the world. People are captive of sin as a nature, but also sinful system and ideologies of the human world. We are ideologically enslaved to become less than what God wants us to be. Now, what do we see around us, you know, on this campus? Will the students be safer once they have the academic diploma in their hands? Or do they need something more than that to make that diploma useful in their life? You know, in my lifetime, I have seen many highly academically successful persons, but personally failure, spiritually failure, morally failure. We have seen the misery and helplessness of postmodern scientific world during COVID-19 pandemic in India. Thousands of children became orphans and many never had closure of their tragedies because they could not say goodbye to their dear ones. They didn't see them. No technology, no power, no political power were able to heal the catastrophic mental and emotional injury caused by the pandemic. Many lost their jobs during lockdown. Most daily workers had their kitchen shut down for months. That is the time Lord spoke to us louder and in succinct voice. It is the time to translate your proclaimed word into action of love and care and compassion. You know, we are primarily a ministry of social, we are not a, you know, ministry of social action. We are not doing charity, you know, in our bylaws and structure system. Most of us, our most fund that comes to us is both basically evangelism, church planting, and disciple making. But thanks to our board member and the donors, we all decided to make a special resolution. We must respond, you know, with the act of love. We mobilized all our resources, and we were able to help around 7,000 families around us. And this opened many new avenues for us in the community. We were no longer seen with suspicion as people from other faith, but they were seeing us as with respect, as someone who is part of the community. And you will be surprised, that particular year, 2020, we had the highest number of baptisms. In fact, there were some prayer centers started, and many people wanted to come and pray to Jesus. People from other faith, they all want to pray to Jesus. He says, welcome, everybody, you can come. And from that time onwards, we decided we will not call this group as a church. It will be simply a prayer center. Because in Asian countries and in a culture where people from other faith, when you say to them that you are going to the church, it's a taboo. That means you have betrayed your own religion and your own culture. You're going to another religion. But when we say prayer center, welcome. Everybody can pray to Jesus. Preaching good news is more than saving the perishing souls or healing sick people. It is more than planting a church or establishing a house or a denominational empire. The goal is to transform the fallen humanity. Jesus came to restore one new humanity in Christ. The concept of mysterion that St. Paul mentions in his letter to Ephesus and Colossae is about that one new humanity in Christ, in which there is no division, but all are one in Christ for his purpose alone. And so evangelion, preaching of the good news and leading them to Christ, is only a starting point toward the goal of reaching that mysterion. The goal of biblical missions, therefore, is a holistic transformation. We may be a Christian majority belt, but the question remains, have we arrived at that ultimate goal of transformation? Is our Christian world divided in denominations, or maybe many kinds of divisions? Do we have similar issues of the world unresolved inside the church? So that leads me to the fourth essential of the blueprint. The fourth is the ultimate goal of the transformation. Notice in verse 3, the Hebrew text reads, Vekora lahem eile chasadek matta Adonai lehitpayer. They will be called oaks. In other words, you can also translate as mighty trees of the righteousness, chasadek, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Why oaks? Why mighty tree? Why aile? Because oak represents the strength, the stability, and longevity. In the church, if you have only infant babies and all are immature Christians, that doesn't represent oak of righteousness. That represents fragility. Temporal nature of the Christianity. To achieve such a result, the servant will require to engage in intensive act of mentoring, discipling, until the vision and the virtues both are transferred into the recipients. In this blueprint, we notice that the anointed servant impacts growth beyond oneself. It's not about being successful in my ministry. It's about making successful those whom I'm ministering. is beyond me. And such anointed leader in this blueprint, there is an assurance, he or she shall not remain alone, but have disciples and followers. You know, the divine visions are very infectious, are very contagious. Human planning may not be that much. When the people of God receive the ministry of the word and the ministry of loving care, they shall become the oaks of righteousness. These recipients are built up to rally behind the visionary anointed leader, and one day they will be ready to take over the baton and continue the relay race to the victory. The servant is no more singular. There is a movement in the text, and it's enjoyable when you read the Hebrew text. There is a movement in the text. The subject and the object were singular in verse 1, but now it is plural in verse 3 and 4. From I to they. The climax of this blueprint is captured in three Hebrew verbs in verse 4. Ubanu, they shall build. Yekomemu, they shall rise. It's an imperfect verb. That means it will continue to rise up. It will not just end up in rising up. And then Hidesu, they shall make new. The community is set free and released to participate in the divine nature of God. The mission of God is more than planting a new church, a mere place of worship. No. But it is also making the church a center of holistic transformation for the whole of society. Asia Pacific Baptist Federation, you know, because I am the vice president, they asked me to write an article, you know, please write an article on the relevance of the church. And I ended up writing to them, giving advice, how about go 100 miles around the radius of your church and ask, no, sorry, 1 mile, and ask around 100 families what your church is doing. It will be a very revealing to you. How relevant is your church to the community? The blueprint tells us that they shall unite their strength to rebuild, restore, and renew not only themselves, but the entire community. Remember, Jesus called us the salt of the earth, not salt of the church. I wish he had called only salt of the church. That would have been very comfortable. And he also called us light of the world. I wish he had called me the light inside the house, just lighten my house. But he has called us to be light of the world. Why? Because it's not incumbent upon me. It's incumbent upon the Holy Spirit, who is divine and who can make it happen. He is a God of miracle. He wants us to look beyond and envision beyond. Only if we are set apart, masak, anointed, by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, Ruach Alai, He's upon me. So following the blueprint, my brothers and sisters, we are invited to be like Jesus. We must follow our life and ministry to remain consecrated under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, absolutely. Let us remain dedicated to the primacy and centrality of the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak on its own term. Let us allow the Word of God be demonstrated in our compassionate care and love for those who are in need around us. They need to be set free. Let us not be indifferent to their needs. Let us attempt to rebuild, renew, and restore community that becomes stable, mature, fruit-bearing, bringing honor and glory to God. They will be like oaks of righteousness. May our God bless these meditations. May God bless this Global Emphasis Week. May God continue to use Beeson and Sanford as an instrument for His glory, building His kingdom. Let me pray as I close. Lord, your word is living. You continue to speak to us in every generation. And you call us as your faithful servant in every generation to represent you, to bring honor and glory to you. Lord, you are at work, and you still want to bring that holistic transformation in this world, where every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we consecrate ourselves. Amen.